Amen. All right, we're going to start in John chapter 1. We're going to continue talking about the who you are. And one of the things that happens when we're saved is we really wonder who we are. You know, who am I really? I'm born again. When I first got saved, I was excited. I knew I got born again, but I didn't really understand what it meant. Then Pastor Dave began to teach about the new nature and what a difference that made to understand I have a nature of God. But how is it that, you know, like here at this altar, I remember when I was born again up in northern British Columbia, little Assembly of God church, Canadian Assembly of God church, and kneeling down and asking Jesus in my heart and feeling something change in me. And I didn't realize truthfully at that moment, that's the moment I was born again. I knew the word born again, but I didn't understand that I was actually born again. Amen. We're born the first time of our Adamic family, but then we're born again the second time of our heavenly family. So let's look in John chapter 1. And we'll jump down to verse 14. And it says, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. So God, in the form of Jesus, became flesh. Amen. Jesus became flesh and dwelt among us. Now let's jump up to verse 1. In the beginning was the Word. Say the Word. You can't distinguish between Jesus and the Word. It's always the same. True Word of God, true revelation, always is the same. It's Jesus. It's from Jesus, describes Jesus. It helps you understand Jesus. And the Word was with God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God, and all things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And then in verse 4, we understand that this is when He was born in Bethlehem. In Him was life. Say life. And the life was the light of man. Say light. So the life was the light of man. And then there was a man from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not the light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into this world. So we understand now that this word light is a description of the new nature you received from Christ. He became light from Adam till Moses, or to Adam till Jesus, the world was dark. Man walked around with a nature of darkness. Amen? Because of Adam's fall, he became sin. He became like his new father, the devil, and passed that down, that darkness, generation after generation, until one day in Bethlehem, a little light was shining, and that was in Jesus. Jesus came in the form of man and became light to us. In that moment, when he died on the cross, was resurrected, he offered the same light to you that he was born with. We know this, born again trail. He was in the world, verse 10, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, how many in this room, you've been born of the will of God? You're born the first time by the will of man. Two adults hopefully got together, a man and a girl. A boy and a girl got together, and they end up making a baby. And that baby that they make, every little baby that's conceived, how many know that's an eternal creature that lives forever? That the moment there's conception, that is a new person born that never existed before. We know there's not babies in heaven waiting for a body to come into. That little creature created by the will of two parents is now going to live forever. That is from the will of man. So because Jesus came, he allowed you and I and any person who decides to speak in his name and accept Jesus to be born out of the family of man and into the family of God. Amen? And the way he does that is he takes that light, that nature, and replaces your old nature that you got from Adam with the new nature of light, from darkness to light, from death to life, from Adam's family to God's family. We truly are new creatures, amen? We are born into a family, a whole new species, a whole new race called the children of God. So when you go to work tomorrow, you can tell all your friends, say, hey, I just want you to know I'm not of the human race. I'm a new creature. I don't belong to Earth. Earth is not my home. Because truthfully, Earth is no longer your home. Amen? And your family, the family you were born to, in all honesty, is not any more your family than the person who's born again sitting next to you. So my son, who's Harrison, he was born of me. I am his father. I'm his steward until he becomes of age. But the moment he accepted Christ into his heart, technically I'm now his brother. God is his father, as God is my father. But me and my wife created two little creatures, Harrison and Ava, who will live forever. And because once this life begins in the human family, it goes forever. Now, let's go over to Romans chapter 6 quickly. I'll start in chapter 5, verse 21, and then we'll go down into chapter 6. So that as sin reigned in death, even so grace may reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What shall we say then? Shall we continue to sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer to it? Or do you not know that as many as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For we have been united together in the likeness of his death. Certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man, say old man, was crucified with him, that the body of sin, say body of sin, might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. For he who died has been freed from sin. Now, the moment you knelt down and asked Jesus into your heart, God came and pulled the old nature out that you got from Adam, that nature of darkness, the nature of death. It's not dead, it's just death. The nature of darkness, and he pulled it out of you. And that's the moment, because Jesus had to go to that same place of death so he can be resurrected to life to allow you and I to go from death to life. So because he went there, we are already there. He came to us and gave us a path out of death into life. And when you were born again, it says here you died and were resurrected in newness of life. How many remember the moment you were born again? Now, my question has been, do you remember the moment or the days before? Do you still remember your childhood memories? So you didn't die in the sense of you went blank and became a new person, but you don't remember who you were before. You died in the sense that he took out the nature of darkness that was given to you at your birth from Adam and replace it with the nature of life, meaning you actually died and became a new creature, resurrected from the dead. You became a new creature, a new person, but you were there the whole time. Do you remember when you walked up to the altar? You walked up a dead man, and you walked back a live, living being with light. You walked up to the altar in darkness. You asked Jesus into your heart, and you walked back in light. The old man, the old nature was put to death. Now, keep coming with me. We're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And let's read in verse 45. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Now, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. Say living soul. Living soul. The last man was made a quickening spirit. Now, it's interesting here because he calls Jesus the last Adam. Now, we know some of the reasons. Some of the reason is he had to come and take full ownership of this earth and full ownership of the human race. Jesus did by becoming as Adam on this earth so that he can not only lead us into a new family, but he can finish up what Adam failed in, take full ownership. Eventually, when everything is completed, he'll have ownership over death. He'll have ownership over everything legally on this earth that then he will, as an owner, close up shop. He'll fold it, he'll be burnt up, and we'll start with a new earth and a new heavens. Amen? And because legally, he'll have full ownership. The devil will end up in the lake of fire. Now, the first Adam came. We called him Adam when he created him. He called him Adam. You're the first. You're the first man. Right? That's his name, Adam. You're the first man. You're the first man. And from this Adam will come every other human born on the planet. All of us. Every one of us can be traced back to Adam. Just like when you ate that orange today or that apple, you can take that apple and you could, if you were a good detective, a really good detective, you could find out where that apple came from, some tree in Brazil or someplace, Mexico, and then you could find the tree that it fell off of, if you're a good detective. And then from that tree, you could find out what seed that tree came from, because you know the tree comes from a seed. Then you can actually take that seed and follow it to an apple that fell off another tree, and then find that apple, and you can find the tree that it came from, and then go back in time further, you'll find out where the seed from that tree came from. And you could trace back from apple to seed to tree backwards through time, all the way back over 6,000 years, and you'll find one original apple tree that God created. He created one original apple tree and gave it the power to reproduce. Then now we have apple trees that populate the whole earth and orange trees and everything else. In the garden, he created one of each and allowed it to spread. Amen? Now we know that God didn't create every apple. That apple you ate, you could say God created it. That it would be truth, right? Because he created the first one and gave it the power to reproduce. And just like with the human race, you could say God created the human race, but you did not come from the will of God. In a sense, you came from the will of man. He gave Adam, the first Adam, the power to reproduce and said, I give you the power to reproduce creatures just like you. Now, we can complain when life isn't going good, get mad at Adam and say, why did you pass on all this stuff? But the original plan was a man that was perfect. Perfect in holiness, perfect in love. There was no meanness in Adam. There was no anger in Adam. There was no envy in Adam. Adam was as pure as God is pure, as holy as God was holy. Adam looked God right in the eye and did not feel inferior, did not feel a failure, did not feel unworthy. He was perfect as God is perfect. He was made in the image of God. And then he was given the power to reproduce the whole human race. And we know this, that even Eve came from his rib. So God did not create Eve out of the dust. He took from Adam and created Eve so that he could have more. Remember when he said, it's not good you're alone. Adam, it's not good that you're alone. Now, he didn't mean it's not good that you're lonely, because Adam wasn't lonely. Adam was filled with God and filled with life, but it's good. It's not good that you're alone. I want you, Adam, to make a gazillion creatures, a gazillion people. See, back then, human was a good name. Now, human's not a good name. But back then, human was a good name. I want you to create a gazillion people born with the image and the nature of life to walk around this earth and enjoy this planet and to live forever. We're never supposed to die. Do you know that you and I were never supposed to see heaven? We were never supposed to see hell. The plan was for man to live forever in perfect unity and love and fellowship with each other and with God. Say amen if you're in agreement. Then, dun-dun-dun, Adam fell. Adam sinned, and his nature changed from light to darkness, from life to death. All right. We all know the story. I'm preaching Born Again Trail. That was the first Adam. His name's Adam because you have the power. You're the seed. When you see the name Adam, think seed. Your name is Adam because you're owner of the earth. You're also the reproducer. You're the one who's going to produce and reproduce gazillions of creatures just like you. Now, then he goes on to say in Jesus, in verse 45, the last Adam. The last Adam. Now, it's interesting because he calls him Adam too. For a number of reasons, there's probably a ton more we'll learn about, but I'm sure there will be. But we know that it's because he's taken the ownership of the earth, the penalty from the first Adam that fell on the last Adam. But also the name Adam is because through the final Adam, the last Adam, God populates this new family called the children of God. See, your last name is no longer like my last name. My last name was Taylor. On this earth, I have to write Taylor. But when I get to heaven, I get a new name because God became my father the moment I was born again. So he will give me my name. I have a new last name. It's called Child of God. That's my last name. And you have that same last name if you're born again. Because through Jesus, you received a new nature of life, and the old nature of darkness was taken out. So he populates. The only way to populate the new family, this new species, this new race, the only way to populate, I don't want to say heaven because we're only in heaven for a season, populate the new family, the children of God, is from you coming out of the family of Adam and being born through the final Adam into the family of God. Amen? All right. So, I haven't yet walked around Tulsa or any place and discovered a child of God that came directly from Jesus. I've yet to find one. Do you know why? Because they don't exist. God's only way to populate the new family, the children of God, is from hijacking them from the family of Adam and stealing them away from death and bringing them into life. That without being born the first time by the first Adam, you cannot meet the final Adam. True?
Yes.
All right. Now, I'm not talking about little children because some of you word people may get on to me like, well, what about little babies, you know, that are aborted? Well, little babies that are aborted, they're conscious. They've never gone to a place of guilt that God's able to harvest them anyway into heaven. they too, we will meet them when we get to heaven and spend eternity with every person, every creature, every little baby that is conceived lives for eternity. How many are in agreement with that? All right. So the moment you're conceived, you live for eternity. God can't make a new person. He can't just say, okay, I'm starting a new family called the Children of God. And, you know, like you're walking down the street and some guy walks around, he looks good. He's like, hey, how you doing? I'm a child of God. Yeah, me too. Where are you from? Well, I'm from heaven. No. Where are you really from? No, I'm from heaven. You know, because God creates angels. There's angels from heaven. But you were born. You were birthed first by the family of Adam, by the first Adam. You were birthed. But to be born by the second Adam, you had to ask him into your heart. And then you were born again, born the second time into the family of God through the final Adam. So here in verse 45, so it is written, the first Adam became a living being or a living soul. The final Adam became a life-giving spirit or a quickening spirit. So here's what I want you to see. The first Adam is where you came from. The final Adam is where you received a new nature. But you didn't stop existing between the two. So now hold that thought, okay? Come with me all the way back to Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7. Today we're talking about, I've been bringing up all of our body parts, and let me bring Joe up really quick. If you come up, Joe, grab the first board. Now, Joe's going to stand up here beside me as you turn to chapter 2. And I want to read some things here. And I only have a few on here because what I'm trying to do with these boards, and I'm going to have the sheets ready to hand out one day with the scriptures to go with them, is these are the boards that I have here are accurate scriptural names that God calls you. So he calls your outward body, mortal body, your inner body, call spirit. And some of the confusion comes in the word spirit, right? Because the word spirit can mean, from the Greek, can mean different things. It can mean the Holy Spirit. The same word that you get the Holy Spirit from comes the new nature. Also comes your inner man. Also comes demonic spirit. So it's only through proper interpretation of that verse that you can understand what does he mean by the word spirit here. Well, it's also the same for the word soul. Back up a little bit so I can see too. And the word soul can mean different things. And part of the confusion has come because we've been taught, and it's a good teaching. If all you ever learn is you are a spirit, you live in a body and you have a soul, how many know that's pretty deep as you, when you understand that? But like I described when I first learned about brakes, when I looked at a tire, I have a tire, it has rubber, it has a metal rim, and it has brakes. So that's three parts. My tire is three parts. But if you break it down and you pull apart your brakes, I don't know if you ever changed brakes, but when I first was taught how to change brakes and they had us pull out all the parts, it's like parts kept coming out of that thing. I mean, there's springs, there's wire. Like, it's like, what the heck? I thought it was just brakes. Well, it's more than a brake pad to make your brakes work. And so all we are is trying to describe at a more detailed level of who you really are. And one of the confusions has been the word soul. Because the word soul can mean two things in the Greek and in the Hebrew too. But also in our English. Like you think in English, think of a couple sitting out there on an island and this plane flies over and they see this little boat sitting on this island and the words S-O-S. The pilot calls in, you know, we have an S-O-S, S-O-S. So they send in the Coast Guard and they come in with the big ship and they pull up on the beach, and there's this couple sitting there, and the guy goes, "Oh, thank God you're here. Hallelujah, I've been praying so much. I put that SOS out there." And he grabs his wife, "Come here, woman. Sit down right there." And they grab a seat, and the Coast Guard's standing there. He's looking all handsome, and he's like, "Well, let's go. Come on, let's go. We're here to rescue you. We got the boat ready. Come on in, jump in the boat." And the husband says, "No, our boat's perfectly fine." And the young man in his white hat and his little Navy outfit says, "Well, why did you put SOS? Well, didn't you come because I put SOS?" "Yes, we saw the SOS, and the plane saw it, and we stopped to rescue you." And the husband said, "Oh, no, I don't need rescuing. We're fighting. And my wife's soul is so emotional right now." And she says, "You're the problem." He says, "You're the problem. I need you to rescue my soul, our emotions." See, even in English, we understand SOS, save my soul, means save our soul, means save us. So the word soul can mean either you, but also can mean your emotions, your mind, your will, your intellect. So to simply describe soul as mind, will, and emotions, that is accurate if you're talking about your makeup of mind, will, and emotions. But the other word for soul, also in the English, is you. So when we read in Scripture, we're going to read here on this board, if you're listening, it says I, because you are part of your makeup. And sometimes we forget that I, okay, heir of God, that's what he calls you, apple of his eye, soul, life, and living soul. So we're talking today about you. Here's some things that God talks about when he talks about you. He says, you are a child of God. So even in your dysfunction, now look at me real quick. Does God love you? Does God love you more today than he did yesterday? The answer is no. Does God love you more when you're perfect than he does when you're struggling? The answer is no. Does God love you more now that you're born again than he did before you were born again? The answer is no. See, God loved you from the very moment you were created. See, the second Adam, the final Adam, didn't breathe you to life. He breathed life into you. He is a quickening spirit. The life that you came from this moment. Now let me read some of the things God calls you. So even if you feel like a struggling mess, full of strongholds and full of struggles, here's some things that God calls you when he looks at you. It says, somehow, once you're born again, God has the ability to look past your flesh, the part of you that's falling off of you, and to look at you and to see you, the real you. He calls you child of God. You know, when you've been in the prayer line and Pastor Dave comes and prophesies to you and you're sweating like, "Oh God, please don't expose me. Please don't tell Pastor Dave." You know, and you feel like a sheep eating dog? You feel horrible because you didn't pray like you thought you were going to pray. You didn't do as good as you thought you were going to do. And you're sitting there and you say, "Oh God, please. Oh, here comes." You're waiting for the old prophet, you know, the old time prophet who would look up on Facebook and find the details about your life and say, "Hey, you know, God's telling me this about you." And you're like, "No, he didn't. Facebook did, you know." Facebook today is a good feeder for false prophets, I'm telling you. So you're sweating, and there's Pastor Dave, who you know doesn't even know how to look at Facebook. So you're like, "Okay, God, don't tell him. Don't tell him." And Pastor Dave says, "Oh, he's so pleased with you." And you're like, "Okay, who's he talking to?" Somehow God looks past your struggles. Now, there are times he may give you a warning. When you don't deal with stuff, he may give you a warning. But I'm saying those times, how many have had those moments when you're waiting for a rebuke, you're waiting for a spanking from God, and all you get is a hug? Like, "I like this guy." <You know? laughs> Well, here's what he says about you. He calls you, say me. Say I. You're a child of God. You're a branch connected to God. He calls you the apple of his eye. He calls you fearless, free from sin, an heir with Christ. You're accepted. See, this is, I'm not talking about your new nature right now. I'm not talking about your inward body or your outward body. I'm talking about you. You are specific. Now, if we wanted to get more detailed about who you are, you're all intertwined. Because why do I like chocolate and someone like vanilla? I mean, I like vanilla. But why do some people like chocolate and other people like vanilla? But why do you like certain things? You know, why do you hate certain things? Well, you're made up a confused mess between your natural body and your inner body and from your past. But how many know that once you're born again, you can not just get free from your past, from the hurts and the wounds, but you can quit living out of who the world has tried to make you and start living and live the rest of your life on this earth out of who God made you the moment you're born again. And we don't have to wait till heaven to walk in the things that who we are. He says, you're one with him, you're a new creature. You're the righteousness of Christ. You're blessed. You're seated with him in heavenly places. You're chosen. You're forgiven. You're redeemed. You're sealed. You're his workmanship. You're a member of his body. You've been brought near. You are light. You're a citizen of heaven. You're raised with him. You've been made complete in him. You're loved by him. You are his treasure. His masterpiece. You're his son or his daughter. So today I'm talking about you, okay, specifically. Because there's times where we look at our struggles and we say, I'm a struggling mess. No, you can say you have struggles, but you're not your struggles. You are specific in your makeup. You. And this is where you came from. Look at Genesis chapter 2. And we just read in 1 Corinthians 15, the first Adam was a living soul. The final Adam was a quickening spirit. So without you coming through the will of man, through the first Adam, you can never be introduced to the final Adam. Right? You had to be born first. So when he says the first Adam was a living soul, he's trying to say that's where you came from. But because the final Adam was a quickening spirit, you're now reborn. Okay, you're reborn out of the family of darkness and into the family of light. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now here's what I want you to see. This one breath, he breathed into this lifeless body laying on the ground. And from this one blast, this one breath, came every person born on the planet Earth. From one breath, that's where you came from. Now your nature of darkness came from Adam. But you came into existence from this one breath, an eternal creature. Now, when someone's born, they live forever. Well, we'll just say the moment they're conceived, they live forever. But you know the hard part is, because of Adam's sin, every person born is born into darkness. There's two deaths that we have to face. Say two. The first death we know is when our body, this natural body, this mortal body, falls off of us. But there's a second death which is even worse. And that's the death that is called eternal separation from God. But see, you don't earn that death. Now, you can die a quicker death than the first death if you're a race car driver or a stunt driver and you're driving motorcycles off of cliffs and parachuting. And do you ever see those parachute guys with the wing suits? Do you ever see those guys nowadays? They have suits. They look like flying squirrels. You know, that's a good way to meet your first death. You've earned it, you know. So don't quicken. You can earn the first death quicker if you're not smart, in a sense. But you don't earn the second death. You're born into the second death. Do you understand that every human born is born linked to a nature of darkness that is a chain? Think of you being born and living on this planet past the age of accountability with a chain around your waist and an anchor called the sin nature, the nature of death. See, when the Bible says that you're dead, you're born into death, it doesn't mean dead like an animal that's been run over by a car that you see on the side of the road. It means death. That old nature oozed darkness and death. And you were chained to that nature. You were chained to that nature, and Jesus set you free. He cut the chain of death off you, and now you and I will face the first death. We have no choice but to face the first death until Jesus comes, unless Jesus comes. But we face the first death, but we don't have to worry about ever facing the second death unless we turn away from Christ. So we've already conquered the most deadly, scariest thing that ever existed, that ever faced mankind. You've already conquered it. You've already faced the second death, and you conquered it. Give yourself a big hand clap. That's why we're not to be afraid or fearful of death in this life, because the second death is the one you want to be worried about. Amen. Not you, not the first death. The first death will just usher you into heaven, and you spend eternity dancing and celebrating and shouting and hollering and crying and enjoying, crying good tears, tears of joy. I don't know technically if we cry tears of joy in heaven, but you spend eternity celebrating, living life. So the first death just quickens it. Even if you're a stunt driver and you speed it up, you know, you got nothing to be afraid of because you've already conquered the most deadly thing man has ever faced. The most fearful, scary monster is not the boogeyman. The scariest monster is it being chained to a nature of darkness, a nature of death. And the moment you ask Jesus into your heart, he quickened that nature from death and resurrected you to life. Amen. But you were there. Where did you come from? Let me tell you where you came from. You didn't come from a nation. You didn't come from a family. You originated all the way back. I can trace you all the way back from your parents, to your grandparents, to your great-great-grandparents, all the way back. Do you know we can trace you and find you? They have these new DNA tests they have. You see the commercials. You know, one guy said on the commercial, I used to think I was German, I used to think I was German. I went to German school, and my parents put me in German dancing, and what, I don't even know what there is German dancing, but put me through German stuff, and then I found out I'm actually Scottish. So I got rid of all the German stuff, and now I'm learning how to play the bagpipes, you know. And, you know, like, we can trace you all the way back through your parents, and now no matter how ugly your parents were, I mean, when I say ugly, I mean mean, not like physically ugly, but no matter how mean or how bad your upbringing may have been, if you are in the family of God, there, you should have a gratefulness, because you never would have existed without your parents. Even if they mess things up, and because you found God, everything's going to be okay. Everything's going to be okay. Everything will be made right. You get to spend eternity, because without the first Adam, you never would have existed. No matter how much God would want to have you around, you never would have existed if you didn't come from the first man. So we can trace you back through generation after generation and follow you back through your parents, through your grandparents, through your great-great-grandparents, through your great-great-grandparents. And we can find you sitting there at Noah's feet, and then find you next at Adam's feet, you standing there. But you have to go further. You go further than Adam. You go to this one moment where God breathed into Adam. This is where you came from. This is where every person conceived, born, comes from, this one breath. See, this soul. So when you hear "save my soul," God's not talking about saving your emotions. He's talking about saving you. You. If you're wrapped around and you're in a puddle, a lake, and you got a chain with an anchor of dark sin nature on you, and it's pulling you to the bottom, you're only worried about one thing. When you're sitting there at the deathbed of a 90-year-old cranky man who survived 90 years of people trying to get him saved, 90 years of preachers, and he's on his deathbed, and you're sitting there, you're not worried about making him happy. You're not worried about petting his problems. You want to say, look, I don't care about the last 90 years. All that matters is the next gazillion years. Let's save your soul. Let's save you. See, that's what we're going to get down to in the next service or two, about who you are. See, and scripturally, when it means you, when the word soul means you, and when it means your emotions. And because we'll get into the soul emotional part, mind, will, and emotions down the road as we're talking about breaking you apart into pieces as I'm preaching these services. So Genesis chapter 2, verse 7. And the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. This is where you come from. You, God, and what's amazing is legally, he found a way to restructure every part of you so that when you end up in eternity, there's nothing from Adam left. All you are is who God made you. You're his child. You're his family. And right now, you do have some of Adam still left on you. I hate to tell you. You know, you get a hug from someone who wears lots of perfume, and you walk away, and you're like, what's that smell? And it's still on you. You're like, man, I still smell that smell. You know, or you ever have your son come in, and or you, I'll blame it on you. So do you ever walk into the house, and you smell the smell of dog poo on your... You're like, I smell, what's that smell? You know, where's it come from? And you blame your kids, you blame everyone around you, you blame the dog, and all it was you stepped in some outside and carried it in, and then you can follow the markings through your carpet. You ever been there? And it's disgusting. And you're like, I'm carrying the smell of that dog from outside inside. Well, you still have a stink of Adam on you. You know, yeah, you got a new nature. See, yeah, he replaced the new nature, and he brought to life your inner man. See, that life that he brought to life, your inner man, he didn't give you a whole new inner man. He just reorganized it with his life. Do you know the new body we come into, we're going to show down the road. I'm not going to preach, but it comes. I'm trying not to get ahead of myself, but it comes. It's already here. It's already been done. It's just waiting for the trumpet to sound, and death is swallowed up by life. But we'll get into that down the road. So you still have this natural, mortal body, which is full of dysfunction and brokenness and history and culture. You know, this natural body, you're still stuck with that. But you're going to shed it one day. The beautiful thing about the message of the walk of the Spirit, the walk of power, the message of praying in tongues, the message of fasting and standing on the Word and all these things, is that you don't have to wait until heaven to live fully. You and I say you, I preach like you, I like doing that. But you and I don't have to wait until heaven to fully walk in everything God has made us. We can start now and continue now until we are fully in charge of this life, and we have taken the reins away from this flesh and given it to our Father and say, my life is not my own. It belongs to you. Because without Jesus, do you know, you were born in the darkness. You were born into death. You were born into that second death, and there was no hope for you. Didn't matter how nice you wanted to be. Didn't matter how many people you fed and clothed and how much money you gave away. Didn't matter how much religious activities you did. You were chained into darkness. You were trapped. And the way I like to say it is there's a train. The way God showed me was this train going down this track, straight track. And it was all desert. And this train was chugging along, going down this track. And it was a bunch of boxcarts. And on the boxcars were windows and door. And the door was locked, padlocked on the outside. And the windows were barred. And inside of the train, inside of the boxcars were people, humans, born. That's a human race, born trapped inside a boxcar called death, and there was no way out. They were born, and for 4,000 years, they were trapped inside of that boxcar. There was no way out of that boxcar. And if you follow that train track, you'll find that that train eventually goes off a cliff into hell. Do you know that every child born is born to live and die and spend eternity in hell? Because once you're born of Adam, from this breath you were born. Take a breath. Breathe it out. Okay, now grab it and put it back in. Too late. So God couldn't take back his breath and say, okay, I'm stopping here at Adam after he fell. Say, I'm stopping. I'm taking my breath back. It's too late. He already breathed life in Adam and gave him the power through Adam, but from God originally. That's where you came from. That's why he loves every person of every race, of every religion, of every sexual orientation, of every sin, of every culture. He loves them because they came from this breath. So it's not about God's love for people. God loves you the same today, after you're trying to be holy, all the way back to the day you were trying to be sin. He loved you just as much back then as he does today. You don't get more of his love. The question is not love. Does he love this person? Yes, he loves you. Does he love this type of person? Yes, he loves you. The question is, are you going to end up in heaven or hell? Because he can't, just because he loves you, he can't bring you into the family and rescue you from hell without you going through Jesus. Without you accepting that you are a new nature, now allows you to stop living how you were living and to start living how you can live. He loves every person in the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. He loves this world. He loves the people, every person in this world. He's desperate for them to spend eternity with him. But they're born on this train, and that train is going down a track. They end up in hell, and there was no way out. They would try to break free, so they started little clubs inside the train, little religious clubs, and all trying to figure out how to get out of this train, until most of the world just accepted this is life. There's a whole world outside. And Jesus had to come be born in the train. And then he became one of us, and then he opened the door out of the train to rescue us out of that train called the human race. And so we can be born into the children of God. He became a quickening spirit. But you came from this living soul, Adam. That's where you came from. From Adam all the way to this breath. That's where you came from. The whole human race is trapped on this path to live and die because they're born into death. They're born with a nature of death, a nature of darkness. They are born and going to spend that, and when they face God, they'll be shown. The Bible says there's books, angels that write books. They're nerdy angels. They got the big glasses and the pocket protector, and they write down books because it says there's going to be books, not just the book of life. There's going to be books opened. And I'm assuming this is just a preaching, but little angels are following every human around, taking notes of your life. And now if you're saved, the notes are going to be to show you why you didn't fulfill your calling, or, you know, say, well, I didn't fulfill my calling because of this or that. And God will say, well, let me show you this. This is where I tried to tell you you could do it, and you gave up. You gave up fighting. See, a lot of people give up fighting their flesh, fighting their past, because they think it's in their own fight. But we know His grace is our strength, amen, to overcome all that stink of Adam. We could overcome it. But there's other angels following people around. So when they say, God, I would have got born again, you can't send me to hell. That's not fair, because I would have got born again if I just heard. And He'll bring nerdy angel up, you know, and He'll say, right here you heard this message. Right here in a dream I spoke to you. Right here you heard this TV show and this preacher, and I sent people to your coffee shop. And here's all the million ways that I tried to get you to humble yourself and accept my new nature, to become born out of the family of Adam and to be the family of God, be born into the family of God. And you rejected me. You chose, it was your choice to reject me. So I cannot accept you. It's not going to be, you dirty, rotten sinner, off you go to hell, eternity, lake of fire for you. No. No, He loves them as much as He loves you. Because they and us and every human who was conceived came from this breath. Adam became a living soul. Am I preaching okay? Yes. You are you. When He looks at you, He's not looking at your new nature. You have a new nature. When He looks at you, He's not looking at your inner man. You have an inner man. When He looks at you, He's not looking at your outward body, because you have an outward body. You're the steward of your outward body. Yes, I get all that. But He can look and see you. And when He looks at you, you're His treasure. You're the apple of His eye. And here you are looking at your outward body going, I'm a horrible mess. I'm a disaster. And this is why it's important for us to understand the not just the grace, the power to overcome, but the mercy. Yes. The power to walk with struggles, knowing with confidence, say with confidence, that when I stand before my Father, He sees me. He doesn't see my struggles. He'll ask me to fix them if I let Him. But when I go into His throne room, the Holy of Holies, I don't go in sheepishly. I don't go in hiding the stink of Adam. I run into His throne freely because He sees me. Yes, we all have a mountain of strongholds and troubles, and the enemy especially will let you live your whole life around your stronghold and never bother you. Until you decide to get hold of God and follow Him. And then He'll begin to pull everything He can to stop you, to hinder you, to discourage you. The best thing you can learn in this life, in this world, is you have a Father who loves you. You came from Him. And you can walk with Him. Even while you've got a pile of struggles and insecurities and problems that you're overcoming. See, He still loves you. He's always for you. He's never against you. You came from Him. You did. So when you come to worship Him, quit spending an hour repenting. Spend a second repenting. Father, forgive. And repentance means it's from your heart, of course, because if you're trying to keep a sin alive in your life, or keep things alive that He's trying to get you to kill, then you're going to start walking away from Him. But quit spending so much time repenting for having issues and celebrate. I belong to Him. And if I want to spend this life and not worry about fighting my flesh, my old body, and spend my life living in misery and going to a nice little church that's just going to tell me I'm okay. Listen, I've already won the biggest battle I've ever had to fight. I've already defeated the most horrible, disastrous creature called the death, the second death. I've already beat him. So I can live this life and wander through and still get to heaven. In heaven, I'll be there for eternity. Glory to God. See, when you're talking to a guy 90 years old, cranky, you're after one thing. Look, you don't have too many years left, Grandpa. You know, I don't care who did what or what preacher said this or if they're money grubbers. Who cares? This is about saving your soul, not your emotions. You can go to heaven cranky because the cranky part will stay here on this bed when you go up. But if you don't have his nature in you, you still exist forever. Do you understand? People are going to spend eternity in the lake of fire, not because God's angry. From the moment Adam sinned, God has been trying to rescue us from hell. He's a judge. He will tell you where you're going, but he's not the one who sent you there. Adam sent you there. He is trying to rescue us and trying to get a voice to the world. Any voice. Don't get mad at the guys that are out there preaching. If they're preaching Jesus, let them preach. Let them be dysfunctional and take their money. If he can get one more guy saved, praise the Lord. God's excited. The angels are celebrating because you went from the family of Adam into becoming this new species, the children of God. Amen. You are special in his sight. And I'm going to release you with that, and we'll see you at 10 o'clock.